This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Two of the Nightcap here on VSiN. That gentleman right there is Sean King. Mocked me for going against the mighty Davidson Wildcats. Who's laughing?
You didn't play him on the money line, though. You took the points. So don't go to peacocking. You weren't completely 100%
about?
In the corner of the underdog.
Only you can twist things.
Well, did you take the points?
Yes.
Okay, you didn't take the money
line.
Did
I win my bet?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. All right, let's bring in a good friend of this gentleman right here, Sean King. He is a podcast host on SB Nation for the NFL channel, as well as focusing on those San Francisco 49ers. Rob Stats Guerrera at Stats on Fire joins us right now, like he did last week. And as that game unfolded, as we, you know, peel back the onion, first drive, the Packers go right down the field, have no issues. The offense is doing absolutely nothing for the 49ers. At what point in your mind did you think, you know what, I think the 49ers could win this game?
Probably when they blocked the punt, to be honest with you, in the fourth quarter. Up until then, I was nervous. I mean, look, the 49ers offense had 116 total yards through three quarters. They couldn't do anything. They had negative 7 yards in the first quarter. I didn't think they were ever going to score. And to be honest, if the Niners don't recover that punt and take it into the end zone, I'm not convinced they would have scored on that possession. So that block punt was absolutely massive.
You know, what a weekend. Three road teams actually went on the road as dogs and won. Which game surprised you the most, Stats, and why? Was it the Niners? Was it the Rams or was it the Bengals?
That's a tough question. I think the Rams game, only because I didn't think there was any way, once that snowball started rolling downhill, I didn't think there was any way the Rams were going to stop it, to be honest with you. I think the Rams are a soft team, and I was kind of expecting, like, okay, Brady's working his magic again, and he's going to pull this thing off. But for Stafford to hit that throw and that play at the end of that game, when the Rams looked like they were in quicksand, that really stunned me. I didn't think the Rams had it in them, and I think it was big for them as well, obviously. I mean, it won them the game, but I just think from a confidence standpoint, I think it was big for them as well.
So when we look ahead to this NFC Championship game, these two teams obviously know each other incredibly well. They're division rivals, both coaches. The relationship is well-documented, obviously. You know, what is it about Kyle Shanahan and the Niners, at least the last 3 years, Stats, that has the Rams number?
I think it's a couple of things. I think that the 49ers are just more physical than the Rams, especially on the line of scrimmage. I think that they can push them around a little bit. And I also think that the weakness of the Rams matches up perfectly with the strength of the 49ers. The Rams defense is weak in the middle of the field at the linebacking spot. And that is exactly where Jimmy Garoppolo lives. In fact, it's pretty much the only place he throws the ball for pretty much his entire tenure with the 49ers. And so that's just a perfect combination. They can use Kittle in the middle of the field. They can get Debo and Ayuk on crossers anytime they want it. It's just they say styles make fights. And it just, in this case, it's just really the Niners are strong where the Rams are weak.
So that said, these two teams did just play in week 18. The Rams led 17-0, let that lead go away and ultimately lose in overtime. We saw the Rams again go up big and then try to lose, but find a way to win down in Tampa, up 27-3 and ultimately pull it off 30-27. So when you look at how the Rams are playing right now and the 49ers, where, you know, defense was phenomenal, offense was non-existent pretty much the entire day. You know, how do you look at this game? Because just kind of sensing of how you're examining this matchup, you seem to be leaning towards the 49ers taking care of business here.
I am, as long as Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't shoot himself in the foot. And I feel like we say this with every single game, but I mean, he throws the ball with this unearned confidence. I don't know how he gets so confident with how he throws the ball. Troy Aikman could not believe it on the broadcast last week that Garoppolo was putting the ball in harm's way as much as he was. But I think as long as he can just not get in his own way, I think the 49ers are going to win. DeMeco Ryans is absolutely coordinating out of his mind right now. The 49ers have given up 34 total points in their last 10 quarters, and that's the second half of the Rams game, the final week of the season, and the two playoff games. He is absolutely the biggest reason the 49ers are where they are. I think he knows exactly how to shut down this Rams team. And let's not kid ourselves. Matthew Stafford can do some stupid things with the football as well. He led the league in pick sixes this year. He's, you know, not averse to just chucking it up there in some random situation. So I think that the Niners are going to continue the streak. It'd be 7 in a row now against the Rams. I just think that, like I said, they are just a bad matchup for them. I love the Niners in this game, and I love the Niners getting 3.5 points.
You know, it's ironic that you say that, because it's so obvious that the Niners are the side, right? You have to take the points. The last time I said this was Alabama-Georgia in the national championship game, and granted, Jameson Williams getting hurt played a role, but I feel in my stomach stats that the Rams are going to be the right side. And I don't believe it, but I feel it, if that makes sense. But switching gears slightly, Patrick Mahomes, year 4 in the National Football League. In his first 3 years, he's been to 2 Super Bowls, 3 AFC Championship games. If he wins, this will be 3 Super Bowls in his first 4 years. And it's not like he inherited like this great organization. The Kansas City Chiefs had not been to an AFC Championship game since 1993 when Patrick Mahomes got there, and he's taken them to 4 in a row. When does the conversation start becoming greatest in this era and maybe greatest of all time as it pertains to Mahomes?
Well, greatest of all time, he's got plenty of work to do, but man, is he off to a hell of a start. I mean, I think you can make the argument right now that he's better than Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you, especially given Rodgers' struggles in the playoffs. I mean, what Mahomes is doing right now, he's already so good that his success is boring us, right? Like, we're just kind of used to it already. We've just kind of accepted the fact that Patrick Mahomes is going to play for the AFC Championship every single year. He squeezes so much out of every single play. There is no one play where he just drops back the pass and throws it away and lives to play another down. He's running around out there and he's making throws that nobody else can even think of making. And I think he's kind of got his turnover problem, you know, under control. I think he had to go through an adjustment period in this year with the 2 high safeties and dealing with that. I think he's figured it out now. And I think the Bengals are in trouble.
Well, let's get to that game. You mentioned they're in trouble. Are they in trouble about, you know, getting blown out? Are we looking at a cover here? Sean and I are kind of the feeling that Cincinnati has the capabilities of keeping this thing close, of putting up some points against a Chiefs defense that, let's be honest, doesn't look like world beaters right now. And I don't think Cincinnati's afraid of anybody. My worry is you still have 15 on the other side. You've got Kelce. You've got Tyreek Hill, who look like they're hitting, you know, the mountain right now. So when you look at this game, does it feel like a high scoring game with a total of 54.5? Does it feel like a potential blowout in favor of the Chiefs?
Well, the one thing you said that I really agree with is that Cincinnati is not going to be scared by the Chiefs. Joe Burrow has the confidence and moxie of a daytime burglar. Like, he does not care. He said flat out, we're here. We're not the Cinderella team. This is the standard. Like, he's not going to be kind of overwhelmed by the moment. And Cincinnati is one of the few offensive teams, I think, that can go blow for blow with Kansas City, with all those receivers that they have, with Joe Mixon. The big question for me is, can Cincinnati do anything to protect Joe Burrow? You cannot have him get sacked 9 times like he did last week. I think that's honestly what it's going to come down to. If he has any time to throw, I think it is going to be a shootout. That's a high over-under total. I don't know if I would man, that is a high number, but I think it's going to be an offensive shootout. And I honestly, like, I could see Cincinnati covering the spread even if they don't win the game.
So stats, let me give you this. 30 of 39, 446 yards, 4 touchdowns, sacked 4 times. That was Joe Burrow's stat line in week 17 when they beat the Chiefs 34-31. Does that factor into, because I personally said that I think Mahomes is going to have to play as good a game as he played last week for Kansas City to win this game. Because I think since he's hot, I think the deficiencies that Kansas City has match up with what are the strengths of Cincinnati. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on Mahomes to, you know, create some room. Because if it's close late and since he has the ball, I would not be surprised if they went outright.
I would be very afraid of Joe Burrow with the ball in his hands late, because the one thing that I love that Joe Burrow does, if something's working, he sticks with it and he's going to press until it hurts. And you see it with Ja'Marr Chase. Like, whenever he's in trouble, he's like, forget it. I'm going to my number one option, Ja'Marr Chase. And he just finds a way to stick it in there in the big moments. He is not shook by any of this. I could easily see Cincinnati winning. I like Cincinnati's defense better than Kansas City's defense. So I wouldn't be stunned if Cincinnati won. That's why I said I think Kansas City is going to win, but I would not be stunned at all if Cincinnati covered the spread.
So real quickly, Stats, before we let you run, less than a minute to go. It seems like if we made you just pick straight up, it would be Niners and Chiefs. How do the Niners match up if it is the Chiefs for the second time in 3 years in 40 seconds?
This is terrifying to me. I want no part of Patrick Mahomes. I am not ashamed to say it. You don't get extra points for beating a lesser team in the Super Bowl. It terrifies me. And do I think the Niners can win? Yes. Do I want to see them have to try? Hell no.
You can follow him on Twitter at StatsOnFire. Check him out, SB Nation NFL, the Niners Nation podcast. Great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Rob Guerrera. Stats at Stats.
It's my guy.
Fire. He is your guy.
That's right. It's my guy.
We will we'll dive more into what's to be expected this weekend, get you updated on all of the happenings also around the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, next right here on the Nightcap.
Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the latest and current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving. For every game, you'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for Moneyline, over-under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Got a couple games going on as we speak. Good start for the Aggies of Utah State. They lead 32 to, I think San Diego State just got a bucket there. 32 to 24 right now. No, 32-27 as the three-pointer is counted. Much more frantic pace than I anticipated in this game.
Yeah, Seiko from San Diego State looks about 31 and a half.
But this is a fun game. This is a fun rivalry over the years. Utah State won right before the pandemic shut everything down. Utah State was one of the few teams that punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. They were both going regardless. That was the year San Diego State might have been a one seed. And, oh, what was it? Sam Merrill? Sam Merrill hit a game winner against UNLV or against San Diego State at UNLV to win the Mountain West Championship that year. So,
can I give my guy Stats?
Absolutely.
Some love. He comes up with great, like, nicknames.
Yeah, what was his line?
He said Joe Burrow has the confidence of a daytime burglar.
That's a good one.
And then Jimmy Garoppolo's an arsonist that fights fires. That's pretty good stuff.
When he said that, I was like, man, you do have some good zingers.
I mean, because Stats is like, you know, really, really intelligent, smart dude that likes to research all day.
He knows his stuff, man.
Yeah, that's my guy.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the Rams and 49ers game. And, you know, we talked about how these lines haven't really budged. And
I feel like Georgia, Alabama. I'm starting to feel like it. Everybody's on the Niners.
And what does everyone say, right? It's going to be a close game. I got to take the 3.5. I understand the rationale. The rationale makes all the sense in the world, Sean.
Right.
Because what have we seen lately? The 49ers have beaten them six straight times. They beat them in week 18. They are looking dominant defensively right now. The 49ers are. Why is it 3.5?
Now, if I played the Rams, I would buy the half a point.
I would honestly wait because I'm looking right now.
I think it may go down.
Westgate right now has Rams -3.5 even money. So I think it might be headed that way. DraftKings is -105. No one has gone to 3 yet. And maybe that's the buy point.
Well, here's why I would buy the half a point. Because of what happened last weekend. Niners walk off field goal. Bengals walk off field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
all four games. I mean,
Rams walk off field goal. Now, granted, it was
Kansas City walk off touchdown.
Right, it was the dog, but
right.
The margin of victory was 3-3-3, and then 6. So I'd hate to Rams walk off field goal and win by 3, and I lose because the hook is sitting there.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So I haven't made a bet on either game, and I'm hoping that hooks. One hook gets eliminated and one hook arrives in the Bengals.
Does the half a point at 7 make you feel that much stronger about signing with Cincinnati?
I don't know. It's kind of like that security blanket. Makes me feel just a little bit better. But I think ultimately, I like the Bengals.
I'm telling you.
And
you might think I'm joking, but I mean it when I say this. Cincy can win outright. Like, Mahomes going to have to play the game of his life for the Chiefs to win. Like, I feel that strongly.
The game of his life.
Just like he did last week. This is going to be a back-and-forth game. Cincinnati's not going to fold. Mahomes is going to have to make play after play after play for them to beat the Bengals. I truly believe that.
The worry that I would
Now,
say,
I think he can do it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to have to do it. I don't think it's going to be one of those games where, you know, he doesn't really have to get involved. You know, they throw a couple screen passes. The other team self-destructs, like the Steelers. You know, I think it's going to be a game.
The Chiefs,
maybe not the last minute and a half like the Buffalo Bills last week, but I think over the entirety of the game, it's going to be a very similar back and forth game.
The one thing I'll say about the Chiefs, and they did not obviously have this happen against the Bills, but they did against the Steelers. They did against the Titans in the championship game. What was that, 3 years ago? When they beat the Titans, they were down like 24-0 and then came back in a flash.
Well, if they get down to 24-0, they won't win.
They better not mess around come Sunday. And they knew that against the Bills, right? They came out, they were raring to go, and they scored, I think, on their first drive. They were ready to go. I mean, the Steelers game, they're down 7-0. They didn't score what till late in the second quarter. That happens on Sunday, they might lose.
I wish I could give Cincinnati Tennessee's D-line for this game. That we could mix and match units.
Make a little trade?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
To get after Mahomes a little bit, because he's playing at a high level right now. He's playing good. I'm just telling you, Bengals are dangerous in this game. They have the momentum. They're confident. They just beat the Chiefs in a Chiefs-type game, 34-31.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is Chiefs win 38-35.
So here's the interesting thing about that game, Sean, is that the Chiefs led 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bengals were able to come back. I don't think the Bengals are going to have that happen again. I don't think they're going to fall behind. But no, once again, you know, we're talking so glowingly about this Cincinnati offense, and I think that's fair. But they also kicked four field goals last week,
mm-hmm.
and scored one touchdown. So it's not like – now, the Chiefs' defense is not as good as the Titans' defense and doesn't have near the defensive line, but for as glowingly as we were speaking about the Bengals, they allowed the Raiders to hang around, and if really it weren't for some boneheaded mistakes by the Raiders might go in there and beat the Bengals.
And plus, you know, Kansas City has to stay clean on these four plays. I don't know what they are, but you know they're going to have 3 or 4 plays that are double reverses, throwback pass, quarterback shovel pass, you know, tight end and quarterback option to the open. Like, you know, we've seen throughout the year, Like they must have extra practice time because they come up with all, you know, these different specialty plays. And I think it's great because it keeps the defense off balance, but it's also extremely risky. You know, when guys that are doing things, throwing the ball, handing the ball to receivers and stuff that they don't normally do. So, you know, that's always sitting out there as well. And Hendricks has got to show up. Cincinnati's best defensive lineman, he's got to show up. He's got to pressure Mahomes as much as possible. You know, the one thing that I would be stressing, if I was the head coach of the Bengals, if I was Zach Taylor, I'd be in every defensive meeting that we have. And I would say, listen, guys, don't fall for the pump fake. Just tackle the quarterback. When you get in the backfield against Kansas City, you cannot fall for Patrick Mahomes pump faking. He does it 1,000 times. He's just trying to get you to straighten up or jump so that he can move out of the pocket. And now you've got to try and plaster Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, and all these guys. Like, I would, if I'm Zach Taylor, I'm in that defensive meeting every day. Don't go for the pump fake. Just tackle the quarterback. Just get him on the ground.
If you're the Bengals, I mean, it's easier said than done, but your goal is to take away Hill or Kelce more?
Oh, you got to take away Tariq Hill's run after the catch. I mean, you know Kelsey's going to, at some point, make some plays just because he's matched up against safeties and linebackers, and he has a lot of gray area in his route, so he can freelance. But Kelsey's not going to catch the ball and go 45, 50 more yards and score. What you got to do is make sure that you're rallying to Tyreek Hill. Make sure that when he's catching the ball, you're getting him on the ground. Six-yarders aren't turning into 15. 15s aren't turning into 40s. Like, that, to me, would be the main point of emphasis. We have to get Tyreek Hill on the ground.
All right, let's go back to the Rams and 49ers. When you look at this 49ers offense, Deebo Samuel was an absolute monster against the Rams, right? He threw a touchdown, he caught a touchdown, he ran for a touchdown. The running game didn't really do much of anything in the Packers game. If you're the Rams come Sunday, biggest point of emphasis defensively, Sean?
Oh, you got to make Garoppolo win it. And I'm talking about to the point of being unsound. I'm going to put Jalen Ramsey on Brandon Ayuk and tell my safeties we have to get George Kittle on the ground because he's much better run after the catch tight end than probably anybody in the game of football. But we cannot let Deebo Samuel and Eli Mitchell end up averaging 6-plus yards a carry apiece. Like, we've got to overcommit. We got to get extra bodies. Even if it's unsound, make Garoppolo beat us.
That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. Any bet we should make on Super Bowl MVP?
This is the nightcap on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to vsin.com/podcasts. Get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander, Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicappers, The Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. They're all free, available now at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. By the way, I just want to give a shout out to our guy, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. He's got this Jaren Jackson for NBA Defensive Player of the Year campaign going. Went on Follow the Money today. I've seen him tweeting about it. Went on Follow the Money today, and now it's starting to get some buzz there. 65-1 right next door. I might join our guy, JVT. You know,
can he win it?
Team Synergy had 5 blocks today.
Yeah, I'm talking about overall. What kind of defensive year has he been having?
He's been having a tremendous year, and that's why JVT's pointed it out.
Then jump on it.
I might have
jump
to.
Jump on it.
Yeah.
Jump on it.
Throw a little, 20 brings back 1,300? Why not? And it's
make
that
it, make it 50.
It's that camaraderie.
Make it 50 and get to the 3,000.
You could put 50 on it.
Yeah, I haven't sent it by somebody. I don't think I've been over there yet.
Walk next door. What are you? Because you're an NFL, former NFL quarterback, you're not allowed in multiple casinos or something like
that? Nah. You know, fans, you know, autographs. And, I know. You know, all kind of other stuff, you know.
I can only imagine. I mean, you trying to get in to the studio every night, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
I love the people, too, man. I do. I really love the people.
You sign any babies' heads?
Not recently.
No?
It's been cold out.
What's the most random thing that you can recall ever being asked to sign?
I can't talk about it on here.
Well,
my kids might be watching.
Let's keep it PG here.
I don't know. Nothing out crazy.
No one's like forearm to
car.
Like
car. Somebody wanted me like they got a new
sign
car.
Their car.
Yeah, and they were gonna get it like permanently put right there. Like okay, sweet.
Did you sign it really big?
Yeah, because, see, I have like a...
You have a big signature?
No, I have a sign thing signature, and then I have a autograph signature.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, my autograph signature was on there.
Put the number down, number 10?
Of course.
Got to.
It was weird when I got to Arizona because I couldn't get
you weren't
the 10? Punter to sell me the number.
What'd you offer him?
I think I went up to almost 15.
Damn.
He wouldn't... Jeez.
I mean, 15K for a number.
Man, look, man. I'd always wore 10. It's my baby.
I would have taken it.
Even when I look at 4 now, like what I wore, I was like, no wonder I didn't stay there long. My clothes didn't fit.
You didn't feel like Brett Favre?
No, not at all. 4 is Favre's number.
That is Favre's number.
Yeah, I needed 10. Scott Player, if you're listening to this, I blame you.
$15K. Imagine who was it? Who was the punter there was a punter with the Giants who I think had 10.
When Eli got there?
Eli showed up, and then I think he had another number, and someone else arrived, and he gave him that number too. I think he got like multiple trips, like all expenses paid to Disney World for his family. That's the way to do it.
Scott
man.
Was smart. That's what he did. But
that's the way to do it.
It's not like anybody's walking around Arizona now. You remember that punter number 10 we had? Yeah.
So when you got drafted by the Bucks?
No one had 10.
What? How?
And I was drafted ahead of Martine. So Martine wore 10 at Kansas State, if you remember. But because I was the second round pick, Martine was third, I got first dibs.
Wow. Did that start your relationship like Rocky?
I mean, we're still besties today, but.
Can you get Automatica Grammatica on the show?
Yeah, it's late there, but I'll try.
Keep him up.
It's late, man.
He's probably dancing like he did after every field
goal. He's got kids like I do.
Nah.
Kids are pretty good athletes, too. Checking him out on Instagram.
Two professional kickers in that bloodline.
I need to get him on, though. I mean, what's the national commercial he has?
Yeah. He's a betting guy.
Yeah. DraftKings.
Get him on. Get him on Super Bowl week. We'll get on Automatic or Grammatica.
That's my guy.
But how quickly, when you got drafted by the Bucks in the second round,
99,
did you look at the roster and see if they had a 10?
Well, I knew.
Tony Dungy calls you.
I knew.
Hey, Sean, you ready to be a Buccaneer? Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Don't draft me if I can't get 10. So they didn't have one. No one had 10. Trent Dilfer was 12. Eric Zier was there. I think he was like 15.
Were any of the teams that you visited have 10? You're like, I don't want to go there.
Not that I thought were going to draft me, because I really thought I was going like 28th to San Francisco, and they end up going with a defensive tackle, I think from University of Florida, and I think they had just signed Jeff Garcia from the Canadian League, right? And Drunken Miller, I think, was a teen, so I don't think anyone had it there either.
We need some fun stories. By the way, just kind of bouncing around, we'll get to Super Bowl MVP discussion in the final segment of the hour. Brian Daboll is reportedly the favorite to get the Dolphins job, leading. I don't understand this. We had Ryan Harris on, and I feel better getting vindicated by, you know, a guy who won a Super Bowl. I don't understand this Dan Quinn fascination by all these teams. he's doing something right because the Giants like him. The Broncos have interviewed him twice. I think the Bears have interest. But the reason I bring that up, reportedly, Brian Daboll, Bill's OC, is the favorite to land the Dolphins job, which would lead the Giants to go after either Brian Flores, former Dolphins head coach, or Dan Quinn, now defensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
So here's what's interesting. For the first time in a while, I mean, I think the pool is extremely shallow. Like, you're kind of in this situation if you're looking for a head coach in this cycle. Like, I'm having to go with someone that's already been a head coach and failed, or I'm having to go with someone that's an unknown where I kind of have to take this leap of faith that he's not just somebody that does well presenting. You know, that's kind of the situation they're in. It's not like who's the number one candidate? Like, there's not even like a front runner. I would say Brian Flores is
that. Sean Payton, is he coaching this year?
But the problem with Sean Payton is the amount of compensation. Yeah, so, I mean, everyone doesn't have it available.
And he's got to promote the Netflix movie.
I don't believe the Brian Daboll to Miami. Only because, from very good source, Daboll wants to take Mitchell Trubisky with him.
Okay.
And Mitchell be his quarterback.
And starter?
Yes. And
really?
Yes. And I don't see Chris Greer and that organization moving on from Tua when allegedly that was the key sticking point between Brian Flores and Chris Greer.
So if you're Daboll, if that is true, why don't you bring him to Miami and have a competition with Tua?
Yeah, but again, now you're starting a relationship.
You can't. But at this point now. But
you're starting a relationship off now with what's going to be based on a lie.
But has Tua proven that he is – you're telling – what's a lie?
Because they're going to tell you, yes, that they can compete. But internally, they drafted Tua. So
right. They're
on the hook for Tua becoming a productive player in this league because that otherwise sticks with them forever. That Chris Greer was the guy that drafted Tua over
Justin Herbert.
Right. So that energy is there. And there are other places that don't have a quarterback where you don't have that same obstacle.
I mean, if he went to New York, I think that would be.
Yeah, I don't think New York is tied to Daniel Young because the GM that drafted Daniel Young is no longer there.
Jones, yeah, he's gone.
Whereas Chris Greer was the GM that drafted
Tua. I mean, Daboll seemed to make a lot of sense going to New York because the assistant GM is now in place as the GM.
I don't know if Daboll's up for it.
Of the Giants.
But if I was him, I want Denver.
Seems like Nathaniel Hackett's the guy that they want.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with them also working on bringing Rodgers.
Yeah.
Or Houston, if I was Daboll.
I was just on with Matt Brown and Gil, and they said, what's the best job? We've talked about it, but just relitigating. Now we have the Saints, which I think the Saints – am I crazy to say the Saints is the worst job?
No.
I'm not crazy or I am crazy?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't
– because you're inheriting a top-five defense. You're inheriting a Pro Bowl running back in Alvin Kamara, and – He's a malcontent, but Michael Thomas is under contract. And if what Aaron Oster, our producer, told me, that they have maneuverability to get from the dire situation they are in now, cap-wise.
Yeah, I mean, if it's maneuverable, then fine. It's not right. The worst job.
I'd have to have a great
– the quarterback situation – I mean, that Taysom Hill contract is awful.
Yeah. So I'd have to have a great idea about a quarterback we can get to make it work
on the
next
cheap.
Year.
It has to be on the cheap too.
Yeah, a bargain, not cheap.
I mean, it could be Jameis.
Because cheap is probably $20 million right now.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, a bargain. Let's call it a bargain.
Best job though, you like Denver?
Well, one of them depends on what you're trying to do.
The tricky part about Denver is
I think Leftwich is in a good spot.
I agree. I think Jacksonville's actually a really intriguing job.
I like Vegas too.
That neighborhood does have Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes, and those two gentlemen aren't going anywhere. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, is he a good bet to win Super Bowl MVP?
On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's never too early to prepare
the big game.
We want to make sure VSiN is part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our sixth annual live Big Game Betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join VSiN. Betting experts before, during, after the action on VSiN.com. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Super Bowl champ Sean King. I did not win that Super Bowl. So your rookie year.
Uh-huh.
We've did this before, but I'm curious. So your rookie year.
Okay.
You guys beat Washington.
Yes, in the
divisional round, right? Or was that wild card?
Wild card round.
I thought it was the divisional round, no?
Yes, it was divisional.
You guys had a bye. Do you have a bye?
Mm.
Regardless, you were playing the Rams.
Yeah, I think we had a bye.
Yeah, because I think 1999.
Washington and then the Rams, yep.
Yeah. So you beat Washington, throw the touchdown pass. You're Joe Burrow right now, right? Joe Burrow going on the road to Kansas City. Just as a rookie, won a playoff game. What was your mindset all week heading into St. Louis to take on the greatest show on turf as a two-touchdown underdog? I know it's not a two-touchdown spread, but Joe Burrow is a touchdown underdog. So what was your mindset that week, and what do you think the mindset of Joe Burrow is right now heading to Kansas City?
Well, I think it's different in that I was a rookie. Joe Burrow's in his second year.
That's right, he's in his second year.
I was a second-round pick playing on a team with a bunch of Hall of Famers, so I was far from, you know, the guy they thought had to carry the team, whereas he was the number one pick in the draft, and, you know, he's the best player, presumably, you know, when they get off the bus, and everybody's looking to him to make every play. So, you know, it's a little different. You know, my mindset was, you know, just do the little things great 100% of the time. You know, don't take unnecessary risks. You know, hit the shots when they're available. You know, whereas he's probably going in there like, I got to play the game of my life because that's my home's on the other side. And my team's depending on me to be the best player on the field. So I think the outlook and the approach is probably a little different.
I would say this. I don't know Joe Burrow. Never met him. Never talked to him. But the stories you hear from him, even if he's thinking, I got to play the game of my life, he's thinking, I'm going to play the game of my life.
There was no doubt.
That dude is ultra confident.
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in his mind. I mean, we both won national championships in college, so we both went undefeated, you know, our last year in college. You know, me at Tulane, him at LSU. So, you know, we had proven
it. Was the Liberty Bowl the national championship?
Yeah, yeah. We both had proven that we could win it all. I'm just saying, you know, they're probably going to call a few more passes in the Bengals game than they called in the
Don't
Rams
you have? Isn't there T-shirts out there? 1998
Oh, yeah, I have one.
Yeah,
I just don't like the color green they made it in.
I'll take one.
Oh, no. You're not a Tulane fan.
I'm a Sean King fan.
I know that part.
Believer.
Yeah, so me and Joe Burrow are very similar in that stance.
Both national champs.
Yeah, both won a national championship by last year of college.
Final thought before we get to NFL or Super Bowl MVP. I saw some people in Kansas City talking about it's so loud here, you know, it's going to really disrupt Joe Burrow. I mean, it's not going to be a friendly confines, but I don't think the noise is necessarily going to affect him. I mean, the guy played in the SEC. I mean, those are some raucous atmospheres that he was playing.
Well, it's always something to deal with. How it affects you, I think, has more to do with your ability to handle chaos. But it does have an impact, and it may not affect Joe Burrow, but how does it affect the offensive line?
Right.
When he's re-miking the mic in the pass protection, or he's going from a man pass protection to a three-man slide, or he's going from some kind of man zone pass protection to a full slide, you know, and he's got to communicate with the back, his new responsibility, and what if he's changing the routes to the receivers? You know, that's where the noise becomes an issue, is it makes it a lot more difficult to communicate, especially as you get late, you know, into the play clock. So, you know, I don't think it'll rattle Joe. I think having the Tennessee game under their belt kind of gives them a little bit, you know, of what it's going to be like. Now, the difference will be everything went right for them early in the Tennessee game, so they didn't deal with crowd noise because they kind of took the crowd out of it. You know, so I do think getting off to a fast start will be important for the Bengals.
All right, let's get to this is a fascinating market. Super Bowl MVP. So,
Sean King?
Super Bowl MVP is out. here at DraftKings. These are the odds. Patrick Mahomes is the favorite, no surprise, at plus 175. Then it's Matthew Stafford at plus 350. If you're wondering what are the future odds for the Chiefs, it's currently plus 120. For the Rams, it's 2-1. For the Niners, it's plus 450. And Bengals, it's 8-1. So Jimmy Garoppolo, it's 8-1. Joe Burrow, 10-1. Cooper Kupp, 8-1. Debo Samuel, 16-1. And then the list goes on. Let me ask you this question.
Would they ever let Odell win Super Bowl MVP?
He scores 3 touchdowns. It gets voted on, though.
Von Miller has won Super Bowl MVP, and he's sitting there at 60-1.
He has. Do you believe?
I don't want anyone on the left side.
So left side, for those of you listening, it's the the only case I would make, do you think Kansas City wins the Super Bowl? Because if you think Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, I would bet Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I just plus 175.
I know, it's not a great bet.
Yeah.
But if you think Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, and I know sometimes, like last night with the basketball game, I tried to middle. I said, I got too cute. You might be thinking, oh, I'm getting too cute. It's just, you know, what, it's 55 cents, you know, extra there.
Was Mahomes MVP when they beat the Niners?
It shouldn't have been.
Yeah. I mean, just based on what he did in the divisional round, if they get there and win, as long as he doesn't have, like, a terrible game, he's probably going to win it.
I mean, the last time, what, Edelman won the MVP in that 10-3 Super Bowl.
Right.
Because you couldn't give it to Brady. I thought they were going to, but they didn't. I mean, more often than not, the quarterback ends up winning it. But let's just say, for instance, you like the 49ers. You think the 49ers are a bad matchup for the Chiefs. They're, you know, plus 450 to win the Super Bowl right now. I would not bet Jimmy Garoppolo at 8-1 to win MVP. I think Debo.
I mean, to me, the value is George Kittle, but I don't know if Jimmy's had 2 bad weeks or if teams are doubling Kittle. Cause I haven't watched the All 22, but he hadn't been like the dominant player he was like weeks like 10 through 15. So he's capable of, you know, busting out, having a 8-9 catch, 150-yard, 3 touchdown game. I mean, if the Bengals make it, Jamar Chase at 35-1, just based on what he's able to do. But to me, if you play Chase, you have to play Burrow too.
Yeah, and the thing about Chase,
just to protect yourself.
Yeah, and the thing about Chase is, like, could you see it? Yeah, I could. By the way, Utah State has opened up the second half on a 13-2 run.
Were they down at the half?
They were up 1.
Mm.
Utah State, let's go. Keep Tim entertained tonight, 45-33.
I just think Jamar Chase does so much after the catch that if him and Burrow both had big games, he could still potentially win MVP.
He would have to have like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's legit.
And by the way, with Cincinnati, if you think they have a legit chance to win, I would play them in the futures market. And then, yeah, a little spread.
And what are they right now?
8-1 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
Plus 805, I think, here at Circa.
If you think Cincy, if you really believe in Cincy, I mean, right now, to me, the play is play the 8-1 win the Super Bowl, play Burrow and Chase for Super Bowl MVP, play Cincy on the money line versus
Kansas City. Yeah.
Yeah. Play the exactas for the Super Bowl, Cincy over Rams, Cincy over Niners. Plus 1475 and plus 2350. Like, if you want a legal get-rich scheme, if you really believe Cincy can get it done.
Well, that's the thing. Do you really believe they can do it?
I mean, you could easily turn $1,000 into, like, $100,000.
You could also be donating $1,000.
You're right. So you got to make that decision.
which is what you're most likely doing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's narrow it down.
Let me see.
If you had to make a play, if I put $100, all right.
Plus 280.
I don't know if I have 100 in my wallet. If I put 100 down here and I said, Sean, you got to make a bet on Super Bowl MVP, you could split it up. What would you make right now?
I'd go Aaron Donald 25-1.
I'm thinking that. I think that's fair.
Just because if the Rams were to beat him, he'd have to have a great game.
I think Debo at 16-1 is interesting. Maybe a little, not a ton of value there. Well, we'll talk to Kenny White. He's been red hot with his plays. He'll join us on the other side.